Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father God, today we're going to start on a journey. We're going to talk about matters of the heart. And Lord, there's several things I can say about what you've done just in my life this week as regards to heart issues. Lord, I pray that today that through your word, we would look at it from a standpoint that there's matters of the heart that need to be resolved. Inclinations of the heart, propensities, and all these things, Lord, that need to come under arrest of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, direct this conversation today, direct this message today to the hearts of individuals who want to be totally 100% surrendered to you. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. You know, the word that we use, or the phrase we often use for folks, is when a person has a conversion experience, that Jesus comes into your heart. Let Jesus come into your heart, and those particular expressions. And I'm not here to debate the issue, but I'm here to hopefully bring some enlightenment to that. Because there's much to be said about concerning the transformation of one's heart. Because the Bible makes reference to it. Sometimes we have a heart of stone that he can make it into a heart of flesh, and from darkness to light and wickedness to righteousness. But the theme of the 119th chapter of Psalms is all about heart issues. Now, for those of you who know a little bit about history, there was a man named Christian Bernard. It was December the 3rd, 1967, when the first heart transfer, or her first heart transfer, or whatever it was, or a transplant, that's the word I'm looking for, was done. And the amazing thing about it was with great, you know, anticipation, they'd done it on animals before. I think they did it on I believe it was dogs before. At the conclusion of this particular experiment, they said, well, we're ready to do it on a human being. And the candidate for that recipient was namely Lewis Warshawski, or I believe something like that. And he got the heart from a lady who died in a car accident. She was about 24 years old. I don't recall her name. But the amazing thing about it, they went through this whole thing about heart, you know, transfer, heart transformation, you know, this heart, you know, give him a brand new heart. How long do you think that heart lasted? Anybody know? Anybody remember? 20 years, you think so? 46 days. Want to know something else? The average heart transplant today, now remember that was in 67, that was 50 years ago? Average life expectancy or extension of life for a heart that's been exchanged, how many years is it? 5. Usually, that's a great expectancy, usually 1 to 2 years. You think, in 50 years, that's all we've been able to do? I hope you can hold that into your heart, because there's some things I want to talk to you about that we assume certain things will be better. That, you know, if you get a heart transplant, things will change in your life. Oh, really? Let's look at some issues here. First of all, do you believe that you have a good heart in general as you relate to people and things in this world? You ever heard that phrase? He's got a good heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? But she's got a good heart. I'm not going to stop there because I get harangued. Number two, if you had a conversion experience, who do you believe has control of your heart and the choices that you make? Gave your heart to Jesus? Some of us don't know, because there hasn't a whole lot changed. Third thing, if Jesus indeed comes into your heart, why are there still struggles with sin and disobedience? And this is not to beat anybody up. I just want to look at what the scripture says and how we can get to a remedy. This is not to make anybody feel bad. But then I was listening to preacher this last week, and I had, and it just, it kind of took me by surprise in some ways, but then on the other hand, it's a cultural issue that we are, that we're facing right now. The idea is right now that we as a church have done, gone out of our way to try to keep people committed to Jesus. We got all kind of programs and this type of thing, and I'm not saying programs are bad or anything to tell people to get more about the Word of God, but something has changed since I met Jesus 62 years ago. You never had to ask me or plead with me to go to church or to Bible study or to test. Something happened in the process where we no longer in our heart are as convicted or convinced that Jesus is the only way. It's a matter of the heart. Have I lived perfectly? Absolutely not. Have I sinned since I came to Jesus? Absolutely, I have. But there's something about, there's something that happened on the day when I was converted that I can never go back to who I was before. There's been a heart change. And I don't care how many mega churches there are where they got people running out the doors. I don't care, you can live stream all day long. But until you get Jesus in your heart, it doesn't mean a thing. Fill up the Colosseum 9 times over. It doesn't matter. But the issue that we're talking about here is the whole idea that choosing the direction that your heart will pursue is the most important thing. Oh, this is going to go to another scripture. Psalm 119, verse 112. This is really an interesting scripture. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes for... to the very end. That means, and the word inclined is a very, is an interesting word. It means I have taken the propensities of my heart to go that would go contrary to that, but I've inclined it and I've told it, this is the way you're going. You may want to go back to the way you were before. It's, you know, there's some people, you know what they got? When they got saved, they have the rubber band syndrome. You know what that is? You can stretch out as much as you want to, but when you let go of it, go right back to what it was before. Amen. And some of you are rubber band syndrome Christians. You kind of get stretched out a little bit. When the pressure comes on, you kind of let go, and you're right back to where you started. Oh, Jesus, help me. It's going to get rough today. Amen. I've inclined my heart. I have told my heart, something has changed, and I cannot go back to the way I was before. Which simply means this. We all have natural inclinations and tendencies to operate and move toward things that we like or enjoy. Right now, you are doing the things that you like or you enjoy. And if you don't like it, you will change, you'll quit jobs, you'll move your house, you'll get a different car. But you do all the things you like because your inclination, I just don't like that. So we're ruled by our inclinations. And if we don't like it, we'll change it. So what has happened when Jesus comes in is a whole different avenue of expression for us. So the greatest struggles that we have in our heart will be toward the things that we desire all the time, knowing that they are wrong. Ooh. I'm going to get ahead of my sermon a little bit. There are certain things that you like that you should not have. I love, yes, I do, peach cobbler. Yes, I do. But if I eat peach cobbler every day, I'll be bigger than the house. I love health better than I love peach cobbler. Therefore, I have made a decision that even though I love peach cobbler, I have chosen health over peach cobbler. I've inclined my heart not to go the way of my flesh. Come on, you're going to get with me in a minute. It's just starting to marinate. I was like, wait. You, I'm going to call yours out in a minute. Chocolate cake. We will find ourselves operating under the influence of tendencies that are fueled by emotions. And if you feel bad, food never tells you no. It'll never push you aside. It'll never say, see you later. It says, have it with ice cream. Am I preaching to somebody today? Fueled by our emotions, not by our heart. Your emotions will lie to you. Your emotions will tell you she looked at you funny. She smiled at her. She didn't smile at me. She must be mad at me. I don't know what her problem is. We're talking about matters of the heart. And this is just the introduction, so hang on. I got me a few extra minutes that Jesus helped me. He knew what I needed. The inclination of our heart will favor the things that we believe will bring favor and comfort to our soul. Now, the soul is an interesting part of it. That's the part of you that was converted. You know, he will come and he'll save your soul. The soul is a combination of your emotions, your mind, your will, and this type of thing that the Holy Spirit has should gain control. He will save your soul. Because you get all these things together and you sometimes don't know which direction to choose. But the Holy Spirit will help you with that. But, you know, the soul of man will often be at odds with the heart of man. Ever feel the struggle? Come on, be honest with you. Anybody feel the struggle? Yeah. Between the soul and the spirit? The heart transformation is huge. Our soul may experience salvation, but it's still we have inclinations and desires of the world. Inclinations and desires of the world. I'm not questioning your salvation. Please do not leave here by saying, Pastor, just told me I wasn't saved. I didn't say that. I did not say you were not saved. But I believe there are inclinations that we have that we struggle with that will cause you to wonder or not whether your heart belongs to Jesus. If I really love Jesus, then why do I want to go to this place I know he doesn't want me to go to? Or if I really love Jesus and I am married to my wife, why do I still have a desire for the lady across the street? I'm going to testify to you folks. Because see, you've just been lying to yourself. No, she don't look, that's a lie. And when summer comes along and clothes are a little bit less, the fire burneth within. And I ain't going no further than that. I'm going to leave that alone. Our propensity or natural urges will try to override the Holy Spirit's promptings that rest in the heart of a surrendered believer. I'm going to read that again because you need to hear it. Our propensities or natural urges will try to override the Holy Spirit's promptings that rest in the heart of the surrendered believer. Your propensities and your things within them say, it's okay, everybody's like that. You're just human. No, you're in the flesh. Humanity and being in the flesh are not the same thing. There is no temptation taking you such as is common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you'll be able to endure it. You need to find the door of exit out of that situation. God has always got an exit strategy for folks to get out of a situation. But if you don't want it, you won't find it. If you're not looking for it, you won't see it. But I believe the Holy Spirit's going to empower folks that their heart will begin to mirror what's really in their spirit to do the things of God. Somebody say amen, because it's true. Well, it's good to know that in order for us to be blameless and undefiled, we must learn to experience what it means to seek the Lord with our whole heart. I'll seek you, Lord, with my whole heart doesn't mean you close your eyes. Because when you get outside, your eyes are open. And you see all the stuff around you. Then all of a sudden you find out how unsanctified you are. You can't drive through the world with blinders on. But there's something about the Spirit of God. When he's in your heart, he can filter out all those things of the enemy. The greatest struggles that we will experience as a believer is a divided heart. Compartmentalizing things. Giving ourselves leeway, giving ourselves a pass on certain issues. Well, everybody does that. All people feel that way. That's the way that men are. Have you heard that craziness before? Or just women are just that way. You know, people say, well, you know, women are just emotional. Girls, I will not put that on you. They're just emotional. There is more to a woman than her emotions. Hello. And some of them are smarter than you guys. Let me tell you that right now. You can call them emotional if you want to, but they'll outlast you any day of the week and outsmart you. Would you stop trying to categorize and pigeonhole different things and realize it's a heart issue that God wants to help us with? Well, this divided heart, our tendencies often rest upon habits that we have developed and have not been able to successfully break. Habits. I want you to take just 30 seconds. I'll let you borrow 30 seconds. And I want you to just pull up on your screen a habit that you have that you wish you would break. On your mark, it said go. Just pull up on the screen. The habit you know that is not a good habit that you wish you could break. What are you doing that for? You got 15 more seconds to admit it. All right, we're done. So it's a habit. Is this the way that I am? And I've tried everything to get rid of it. No, you haven't. If you tried everything, it'd been gone by now. I don't see handcuffs on anybody in this room. I don't see an ankle bracelet on none, y'all. Do you hear? No, I want to get through to you today. If we want it to be done, that means the fact that our heart is still divided toward the fact there's a part of me that wants it gone, and there's a part of me that doesn't want it gone. And your identity is in the wrong thing. Your identity is in your humanity, and your humanity says that all people have struggles and this type of thing, and this is my struggle, and Jesus knows all about it, and his grace covers it. Would you stop lying to yourself and deal with the issue? Well, here we go. Jesus has simplified the experience of having a real relationship with him by giving us two commandments upon which the whole law of God rests. Here we go. Mark chapter 12, verses 19. Or excuse me, 29 through 30. 31. 29 through 31. Jesus answered him, first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Go on to verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We're going to expand on that in the next few weeks, so remember that. This is the first commandment. Four things there, okay? Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. God simplified it because we're stupid. We couldn't do it with 10, broke it down to 5. So we cut it in half. Maybe they have a chance. We must be delivered from divided loyalties of our allegiance to the Lord and those who are part of his kingdom. The essence of our soul must be in total alignment with the will of Jesus at all times. When you say praise the Lord with your whole heart, and here's the time for admission. How many of you say, I'm good at multitasking? Raise your hand, multitasking. That's our culture. You can do this and you can do that at the same time, or you have this thing going over here and this particular window open, Anybody in here have two screens for their computer? You got one on the right, one on the left? Screen, two double screens of computers. Isn't that amazing? And we're doing this, it's time saving and this type of thing, but we've conditioned ourselves to be double-minded. We're conditioned. And it's natural, and it seems like, oh, they can do multitasking. They're really a hero. And God wants singleness of heart. God does not want you thinking about some account you've got to balance and thinking about the things of the kingdom at the same time. He wants your whole heart focused in on him. But because of our culture, we believe it's okay to be double-minded because it's more efficient. The other folks are marinating. You other folks, you're doing good. Well, our strength is completely given over for the one purpose of advancing the things that will bring glory to Jesus. And this means this. Our heart will be truly exposed if we fail to pass the test of loving others as much as we love ourselves. Why did Jesus put that in there? Hands on these ones, love you as you love yourselves. Because I'll tell you, the problem is, we love ourselves more than we love anybody. Oh no. I just seek others' will. No, you don't. And I admit to myself that, you know, I try the best I can, but I'm not as good as I think I am. When our heart has reached the point of generosity to share what we would prefer to keep, we have experienced heart transformation. I'm going to read it again for you folks who said, I hope he doesn't bring that up again. When our heart has reached the point of generosity to share what we would prefer to keep, we have experienced heart transformation. And I'm really not talking so much about money. The greatest thing, that the commodity that you have, is time. Now, time equals money, and some, yeah, that's right. But we are so consumed, I believe, on ourselves. And God will prompt you to spend time with other people. You won't do it. Well, I'd love to get with you. Well, I'll get with you. Let me get out my calendar. Can we do that on the 31st of August? Or no, October. That's October. That's the day I got free. Really? This last little element we're going to dive into, I think, should help us. In order to change our heart, we must learn how to hate the things that God hates. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Talk about things that God hates. A heart that devises evil plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. There's some more we're going to eke out of this in just a moment. But a healthy heart must agree with God the things that he hates. And I'm not going to go through all those particular things. I want to skip ahead to something else, to part B, for those of you that are up there. I want to make a statement here, and then I want to spend some time proving it to you. Hate is the most powerful motivation to change. Psalm 119, 113. Go back there for a moment. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. When the psalmist wrote this out, one of the strongest things that we have that will help us be who God wants us to be is to learn to hate like God hates. You see, I thought, and we always thought, God's a God of love. God's a love of peace. God's a love of good things. And so we just love, 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 love. I'm going to change you a little bit. Because that flower power ain't working for you. Everybody's good. You just find good in everybody. In everything, just find the good in it. I know it seems bad, but just find the good. I hope you're ready. Because here's the part that I think that will help us all. When people have a heart that is divided, they are unpredictable. I'm going to ask you a question. I already know the answer. But how many of you like to hold on to friends that you don't know how they're going to respond if you ask them to do something? You don't know whether they're going to do it or not. Do you like friends like that? You invite them to the party and you don't know whether they're going to show up or not? Eventually, you'll get the message and you will lose them because they're unpredictable. They may or they may not. And if you're living your life based upon unpredictable circumstances, your heart has already been scarred and wounded. Some of you grew up in households, unfortunately, where unpredictability was the standard of operation. You didn't know whether what kind of mood daddy was going to be in or mama was going to be in. And I admit I suffer from that a little bit because I had an interesting household. Well, actually, my dad was unpredictable in the particular effect that the day that he was going to come through was very unpredictable, but most of the time he wouldn't. You could kind of depend upon that. But I want to just take you to this place that people who have a heart that is divided are unpredictable. And they're mood-oriented, shifted. There's something great happens at that picker point, all of a sudden, oh, you showed up on time. Oh, I know. I just felt like doing that. But you don't know. Let me take you to the next little face of it because it makes more sense. Double-minded people are unreliable. I could go to your party first, but then I have another invitation later on. Do you mind, don't you? You don't mind that, do you? I don't want you to think you're not important. Well, I feel real good about this. One little aspect of this, and I'll move on because there's a couple other things before we close today. Double-minded people are dangerous. Many people maintain a love-hate relationship with sin. I know you knew I was going to get there, didn't you? You hate the consequences, but you love the participation. I said it, you wouldn't. Well, you know, I know it's bad, but you know, it couldn't be all bad. There's some good in it. You just, if you don't behave like the other people, it's really not that bad. When you start having to make excuses for your recreation, you need to stop doing it. Oh, there's people there to pick up other people, but everybody's not like that. Really. Hate is often expressed in habits that become hard to break. What about that? It means this, that we must incline our heart to move in the direction of change from bad habits. That word incline is an interesting word. Ever seen an incline on something? And if it's got an incline to it, there's some effort put to it. If you're just walking on level ground, it's easy to walk. But you put a little incline on it, it means you have to put a little more effort into it. And the Bible says, incline my heart. It means I'm willing to endure whatever it takes to get to the goal of being free from those things that have held me captive to sin. And I'm inclining my heart to say, whatever it takes to get to the top, if I have to go there, I'm going to go there with Jesus because Jesus has got a prize for me of being right in right relationship with him. What I'm saying to you, it's not always going to be easy. Now, here's the other part we'll tell ourselves. Oh, the Holy Spirit, he'll help you make it through all this bigger thing. You don't have to do anything. That's a lie. If any man would come after me, let him... I'm going to say that word out loud. Now, what does deny mean? That means you choose not to do something you want to do. Deny means that there's a part of me that really wants to do this, but the part of me that knows it's not good for me says, if you want to get ahead in that relationship with God, this has got to go. Some of you need to find a garbage can. Well, I almost went there. I'll save it for next week. We choose to protect our heart from tendencies that will entertain our flesh. Now, in order to have a healthy heart, we must monitor the things that we allow to enter our heart. Does that make sense? Of course it does. We often love the things that sin does for us. Sin does do something for you. You say, it does? Yeah. Sin makes me happy. Sin, I lose control. Sin does do something for you. I ain't gonna lie to you. Sin will make you popular. Around the wrong people, but it'll make you popular. So here's the deal. We must choose to protect our heart. We hate the things that sin does to us and those around us. Some of you are able to monitor or able to, because of willpower, to control your involvement in sinful habits. I'm going to go there today, and really, I'm not really interested in what you think. People sitting in this room right now that are casual marijuana smokers, in this room right now, don't raise your hand because we don't want to know. No, I'm being honest. And you don't feel bad about it because I got under cross. I know what they say, and I know Christians just don't believe in it, so I'm not going to tell them, but I got under cross. Sometimes I need to relax, and a little reefer just does the right thing for me. And I do it by myself, and nobody's with me, and I don't harm nobody. I dare you to take up the word of God. I dare you to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into, like the Lord says, my shepherd, I shall. He leads you the path of still waters that he can quiet your soul. I dare you to do that. But the synthetic part of it is we feel that it's just okay. Sometimes you just need a break. Oh, Jesus. Everybody say the word reset. Now let's go to 119 verse 10. Got it up there for me, dear. You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Oh, that's 114. That's right. That's the right place. Okay. So what he's saying is that we must learn to find the hiding place where God is going to sequester us from those things that would hold us hostage to the things that would, you know, cause us some real issues. Now, if I can back up to pick up one thing. Is healthy hatred will produce a healthy heart of service to the Lord. When I said hatred is probably the most strong emotion for change, it's absolutely true. You say, is hate stronger than love? Well, let me put it on this scale. When you see all the decadence that's happening in the world today, and you see all the things that are destroying people's lives, like for instance, you say, well, do any of you think it's a good idea for there to be gangs in the city? Well, no, I hate that fact. But we should love everybody. We should love the gang members. But yeah, we can love the members, but the whole philosophy behind it, we have to hate what it's doing to people. And in our love quotient, we get this kind of, we put a spin on it that just doesn't work. And so we have to hate those things that are taking people down this road to destruction. So this last little piece, and I'm just about done. I know where to hide. Jesus will cover you when your life is overwhelming. He said it this way, Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. When you don't feel like you're going to make it, God will lead you to a place where you can find rest for your soul. And so the important thing about it is that I need to know where to go to when things are just falling apart. But you know, unfortunately, we have picked the wrong thing. Well, everybody can have a difficult week. And my week this week was one of those challenging ones. On Thursday, I got a telephone call from my cousin, it'd be second cousin, that my first cousin, last surviving one on my father's side, dropped dead. She dropped dead. But before you get out the pity card, let me tell you what her life's all about. 4 weeks ago, she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, in order for you to survive, in order for you to live, we're going to have to put some stents in your heart, and we're going to have to open up the passageway so you can have more vital life. And she said, hold it, keep your tools in your bag, leave me alone. And the doctor said, what? Keep your tools in your bag. I'm good. Then she told her daughter this. If I go to the hospital, don't hook me up to nothing. Leave all the little stuff away. And she says, don't even put the oxygen tube in my mouth because Jesus controls my last breath. And if that's the last breath when I walk in the room, I'm good. I said, oh my goodness. Sometimes we spend all, and I'm going to say everybody could do this. And by all means, if you want them to pump you up or do whatever you need to do, go ahead. But the deal that I'm saying here is that when a person, because her life was defined in Jesus to the point she says, I'm ready to go whenever he takes me to go. But some of us are holding on to life for the wrong reason. Because you want to make that party next weekend. Or you have got some other plans that God doesn't really have on the Richter scale for you or in his plan. But the thing is, we have to have our calling election be sure. Yesterday, I got another phone call. Another good friend, actually, she would be my ex-sister-in-law. She dropped dead. Heart attack. Bam, gone. Oh, the chaos and the confusion, this type of thing. Heart attack. Both of them died of heart attack. Here's how I'm going to tie this in. Our physical heart is the center of all the activity that happens in our body. Our spiritual heart can be healthy. And of course, when we transition to be with Jesus, that's perfectly fine. But I'm saying that we need to pay more attention on our spiritual heart than we do on our physical heart. Because here's the deal. As much as I think this ticker is going to keep on going, it could stop any minute and I'm gone. But the spiritual one would have an impact on all of us if I have in the right alignment with Jesus and do what he's called me to do. Folks, you should be focused on the fact of what your spiritual heart is doing and leaving as a message for other folks to bring them into a greater relationship with people in the kingdom of God. That's a healthy heart. He will bring our heart comfort and peace in the midst of the storm. Question for you as worship team comes up here. How many of you are going through a storm right now? Wave your hand. You going through a storm? Wave it up. It's okay. You can go through a storm. Just wave your hand at me. That's okay. Jesus will bring you peace in the midst of your storm. He will calm your heart and bring you to a good place. I'm going to close with Psalm 23. You all know it. And David said it this way. I'm going to pick up just a couple of snippets from it that will help you digest some things that we're going to put into practice in just a moment. David started off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he goes on to tell you why. He's my shepherd. The first thing he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes God has to throw you down on the mat. You hear what I'm saying? Because you're too crazy. in all things. He said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Because sometimes you don't know when to quit. He restores my soul. You think you're so healthy, you are a walking mess. He leads me beside quiet waters. But here's the part I'm going to skip to, the very last part. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Because you're with me. But there's two things he has with you. His rod and his staff. You know what the rod's for? Your bod. Sometimes God has to give you a little tap. Now, we have this, I used to teach a parenting class, God, the Rod, and Johnny's Bod. That was the class I used to teach. Bring people in alignment. Sometimes a rod's the only thing that'll get the thing to you, get it through to you. It's like, God, Christmas is a hard place. I don't think it's just fair. This time they go, Thy rod, but here's the other part of it, and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In these weeks to come, we're going to be talking about the heart in several different dimensions, and how God wants to do some amazing things in your heart of transforming so you really truly understand what God is doing inside of you. That the purity of heart, and I wrote down, and I believe there were at least 55 different ways up to this point. And I only went through half the concordance to do this, where it talks about, you know, the heart, different things about the heart. And God wants to heal and restore your heart. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Jesus, when we walked through these doors today, we had an idea, perhaps, of what this was going to be all about. But Lord, it really comes down to a place in that part that it seems like it's anticlimactic, but at the same time, it's not. Because, Lord, until we learn to hate the things that you hate, we will never have a right relationship with you. Lord, I pray that there's something that will happen to people today that will say, you know, I realize that a lot of things I've been blaming other people for is due to the fact that I have a divided heart. Sometimes I'm for Jesus, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I have a propensity to go towards sinful things, and other times I try to ward it off. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if people here today would say, you know, I choose to put my whole heart in your hands. While you're just thinking about that for a moment, the Lord specifically has designed people to be at this service for them to make a surrender on a whole new level. And what I said a few moments ago, keep your eyes closed and just listen to what I'm saying. There's something that has to happen to us when we give our heart to Jesus. Not only should it be irrevocable, but there should be a change in us that we would not desire to go back to what we have surrendered. And again, I repeat that I haven't been perfect. But even at the times when the temptation was to go back, I realized, who can I turn to who has eternal life, who has loved me through the worst of my life? I want to say to you that Jesus is the only faithful person you can trust. And you can entrust your life to him. If that's you today and you need to renew your commitment to Jesus or make a first-time commitment to Jesus, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, why don't you lift your hand and say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I need to do it. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website, we'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.